Well, that 2% wage growth was a bright spot for economists in 2015, but let's face it, they still had plenty to worry about. The financial meltdown in Greece and Puerto Rico, China's stock market took us for a ride. And what about the will she or won't she suspense leading up to Fed Chair Janet Yellen finally raising interest rates? It makes you wonder, what else is in store in 2016? Well, Peter Coy has been looking into that. He's the economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, and he joins us from New York. Peter, you say 2016 will be yet another eventful year for the global economy. Why is that?
Well, it's going to be what I call an okay-ish year, and I can't claim credit for that expression. That's Adair Turner.
Okay-ish.
Okay-ish. Adair Turner is the former chairman of the Financial Services Authority in the UK. Look, the GDP is expected to grow faster in 2016 than in 2015 on a global basis. So, you know, there are things to worry about, but you can't really just get too concerned if people are thinking that overall the economy is going to do better.
And what stories do you think are going to be the ones that we are all turning to over and over again? I mean, I can think of China, I can think of oil, but, you know, there's probably quite a few others.
Well, why don't we start with those two? Because I agree those are key stories. The reason China is so interesting is that not only is it the world's second biggest economy, but it's just a lot less understood, let's put it that way, than the U.S. economy. I was going to say more volatile, but up until recently, it wasn't volatile at all. It just chugged along at double-digit or close to double-digit growth, but now it's slipping. It's likely to finish under 7%, and people are looking at even lower numbers. And suddenly, capital, which had been flowing into China, is starting to flow out of it. The yuan is falling, and the falling of the yuan, at the one hand, should make it more of a bargain, so people would want to put their money in there. On the other hand, people are scared that it's going to fall even further and make their investments worth less. So we're in a volatile, unpredictable situation with China. And so I think how that turns out in 2016 is probably going to matter more than anything else to how the global economy fares.
And a slowing China means less oil consumption, most likely. And we already have a glut of supply on the global market for oil. So what are your projections for 2016? Will prices stay as low as they have been now for a while?
The market is saying that oil will be a little bit more expensive 1 year from now than it is now. So we're around $36 or so for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. And the market is looking for it to rise to close to $43 December 2016.
Not much of a difference.
Right. That's the key point. It's a little higher, but still extremely low by historical standards and inflation-adjusted terms.
So what does that mean for the global economy? More trouble?
It's more trouble on one side, but let's not forget the good side, which is cheaper fuel makes people have more money for everything else in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer spending can be higher. That matters somewhat in the U.S., which is a very wealthy nation, but it matters even more in developing nations in which fuel, you know, including oil, gasoline, heating oils, is a bigger share of their pocketbook.
There's a big story coming out of the UK next year, a referendum on whether or not it will withdraw from the European Union, as well as the ongoing refugee crisis in Europe, the Greek financial crisis that we've been following all of 2015. What effect do you see these having on the global economy?
You know, a lot of these are incredibly important geopolitically, and yet they don't get factored hugely into economists' forecasts for GDP. For example, whether Britain stays in the European Union matters a whole lot. The vote is likely to come in 2016. It might get pushed off to 2017. And that'll have big economic consequences over the long term. In the short term, there could be some impact on the British economy, but I wouldn't look for that to be a big mover. The refugee crisis, ironically, it's actually been helping German growth because the Germans are spending a lot of money on aid for the newcomers. And that's providing a Keynesian stimulus to the German economy.
All right. One other story that we've tracked a lot in 2015 was the story of interest rates. Fed Chair Janet Yellen announced that interest rates were going up at the very end of this year. They, in fact, have inched up just a bit. What do you expect, Peter? More of this story in 2016?
I'm going to go back to the market expectations. And the guess now is that the federal funds rate, which is the one the Fed controls, which was just raised to a range of 0.25% to 0.5%, will be around just under 1% a year from now, which is a fairly modest trajectory of Fed tightening compared to past economic cycles.
There's another story we've been following a lot lately that I don't think is typically factored into the global GDP equation, and that's some pretty crazy weather that we've been having. We're on track to have the strongest El Nino in a very, very long time. And this is something that maybe we should be paying attention to in 2016, the weather and how it affects the economy.
Now, there's one that really does have economic consequences. Think about crop failures, soaring prices for the commodities that people live on, for example. That has immediate and severe economic consequences. We don't know how bad it will be, but that's, along with the China story, one of the big wild cards for the coming year.
So back at the beginning, you said okay-ish growth. So I'm just going to ask you to sum this up for us. 2016, just okay?
Yeah, just okay. But I'd take just okay over really pretty bad.
Peter Coy is the economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks very much.
Thank you.